Because Geno Smith is starting. Geno. Don.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized.
Hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Yeah.
So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I'm your host for tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I'm here with my good pal, the one and only, the D-O-N. That's right, it's Don Chrisman, baby. Don, what's up, dude?
Walshy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. It's we're recording this on Wednesday night. It's a nice night out. We're missing the presidential debate, which is good. The Cubs are beating the Dodgers. That's also good. Life is pretty solid. I'm ready to talk some fantasy with you, dude.
That's all I've been thinking about all week.
Oh, yeah, man. So guys, before we go any further, I'd just like to state that Let's Talk Fantasy Football is sponsored by No Halftime. The No Halftime app isn't your typical fantasy sports service. You get to create one-on-one fantasy matchups, and you can use that code LTFF100 for a 100% deposit notice. So basically what we're going to be doing tonight, this is the preview podcast for week 7, and Don, we are going to be talking about each and every matchup going through this week, which there are some fun ones. There's a lot of really good fantasy, a lot of really good fantasy game or fantasy matchups this week, and also some terrible ones. So yeah, I'm pumped. What do you think?
Yeah, man. And I can promise it won't be an hour 46, just like last week's preview.
Yeah, you and Vinny went fucking nuts. So I'm going to try and keep this one slightly more on the rails, and we'll see if Don cooperates with me, which I don't know. Sometimes Don just doesn't cooperate, but
yeah, I think I'm only part of LTFF so we could start more rules. So now another rule should be like me and Vinny are not allowed to podcast together.
I'm pretty sure like our previous like longest ones were also you and Vinny together
always.
As well.
Yeah. And it's always us saying Shrek's going to kill us like five times.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. I know Ed texted us and was like, why is the fuck is the podcast an hour and 46 minutes? But you know what? Sometimes it happens. Sometimes you get on a roll, you just can't stop. But we'll try not to do that this week. Don, go ahead.
I was going to say, I got one word for Ed. Relax.
There we go. All right, so we're going to start. I don't know if the guys talked about it in the recap podcast because we haven't been able to get a hold of them. But we're going to start with the Bears-Packers game, the Thursday night game. Hopefully this does get out before that. Don, let's start on the Bears side. Bears are pretty big underdogs here. But the Packers' pass defense hasn't looked great. And Brian Hoyer's kind of been slinging pig. What do you think about Brian Hoyer and the Bears' pass game?
Dude, Brian Hoyer has definitely been slinging pig. Four consecutive games of over 300 yards. That's pretty intense, especially for Brian Hoyer. Like we thought, like kind of like the journey, one of the journeymen of the league. But he looks pretty solid, and he is going against a depleted Packers secondary. It looks like Sam Shields is actually going on IR, which is kind of very concerning, considering it's for a concussion. So. Haven't heard that one before, so hopefully he gets better. But yes, with someone that's had four consecutive 300 passing yards going against a depleted secondary for the Packers and it being a rivalry could be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. The Sam Shields thing is really weird, and it's very unfortunate because like that's the kind of thing that can definitely affect a career.
Right.
But at this point, Hoyer's like an every week option, I think, unless he like runs into a very stout defense. So he passed for over 300 yards, but just didn't get any touchdowns this past week against the Jaguars, which, you know, kept his points down. Hoyer, Meredith, Alshon, Zach Miller, all good options. What about Jordan Howard with his snaps decreasing a little bit this past week?
If they're going to be on the goal line, I'm cool with Jordan Howard. I would still play Jordan Howard this week.
Okay, that's fair. I think I probably would too. Kadeem Carey, just keep an eye on the snaps there going forward.
Right.
On the Packers side of the ball, we've got Eddie Lacy not going to play. They just traded for Nile Davis. I mean, I guess we'll start with the pass game. Like, what is the Rodgers situation here?
The situation is Rodgers doesn't look like Rodgers this year. It's funny because I brought up in the last podcast too, where, you know, historically we've had trouble with our O-line, but our O-line's look actually really good and giving him more time than he's ever needed. And I think it's maybe a little bit with receivers not getting separation, but I mean, he's making some knucklehead moves and passes. So I say, you know, for you Aaron Rodgers fans, if you're going to stick it out, definitely stick it out this week against the Bears. Bears is, you know, not very good this year. So if he's going to pick it up, it's going to be a Lambeau against Chicago.
That is correct. I would think you would want to still play him. I think I'm starting Jordy. I'm starting Cobb, and I'm also starting Ty Montgomery because there's talk that he's going to get use as a running back too.
And he probably will be the third receiver as well, especially because Davante Adams is also in a concussion protocol here. So
yeah, you would think very creative usage for Montgomery and Cobb this week.
Yeah. Yep. So I think Ty Montgomery is actually a good play too.
Cool. All right. I'm going to take the Packers.
Dude, go Pack, go.
All right. Let's move on to the London game. That's right, guys. There's another London game this week. So be aware. You got to be up early if you want to watch it. Make sure your lineups are all set before that 9:30 Eastern. Is it 9:30?
Yes. 9:30. Yes.
Yeah. 6:30 Pacific. So that's real tight. Before that kickoff happens, but we've got Giants. The Rams are nominally the home team here, but like, it doesn't matter. It's a London game. The Giants are a 3-point favorite. I guess we can start with Eli, who had a very, you know, usable week basically because of a couple Odell Beckham big plays, but hasn't been particularly usable this year. The LA secondary is not good and is also hurt, with Trumaine Johnson not playing last week. Do you buy into Eli at all?
I'm okay with it. I think there's going to be some better plays. I think, like, for instance, if there's someone you could stream, like if there's a Mariota that's still on the waivers because he's been playing well and going against a better defense. But I think if you're going to play Eli and you have him, this would be a favorable matchup for Eli Manning, especially now that they've got OBJ starting to turn it around.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it's a bad week to play Eli. He just hasn't really looked good this year, but it is a good matchup. Yeah. The running backs are splitting snaps. Jennings had 48% last week. Rainey had 40%. I'm not really a fan of either of them.
No, I would stay away from it until we know what's, you know, clearly going on with that backfield. Jennings coming back into it, everything. So I would stay away from the Giants backfield.
Fair enough. You mentioned Odell Beckham, how he appears to be back. I think he caught some, you know, positive touchdown regression there. So that's always nice to see. He does lead the team in red zone targets with 9. What about Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz in this matchup?
I don't know if I'm really going Victor Cruz. I think I'm still going to stay away from that because he's getting a few looks here and there. But Sterling Shepard's targets have still been very strong. It's just the past 2 weeks where it's been either bad passes or you know, double coverage. So Sterling Shepard, I think, is still a viable wide receiver 3. So I'm okay with it because I think the targets are still there.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, Don, I think. 7 targets at least each of the past 5 weeks. So that's all the weeks except for week one. And in week one, he had a touchdown. Over the past 3 weeks, he only has a 45% catch rate. That's bound to go up. The weird thing is that he doesn't have any red zone targets over those past 3 weeks. But, you know, that's not really why I'm playing Sterling Shepard. I'm playing him sort of as a PPR guy. So touchdowns are sort of a bonus there. On the Rams side, Case Keenum had a very usable fantasy game. I believe he threw for 3 touchdowns and nearly 300 yards. Are you buying into him as – what's that?
He vultured a rushing touchdown as well.
Yeah, you're correct. Are you buying into him as someone that you can maybe use in good matchups going forward? Yeah, I'm not either.
Yeah, no. That's – I need to see a little bit more than that for me to – be wanting to pick up Case Keenum on a favorable matchup.
Yeah, I don't want a Jeff Fisher quarterback unless it's like a really good quarterback. What about Gurley now? With Benny Cunningham out, we've seen him getting some pass targets. He caught four of those targets, but he's still averaging 2.9 yards per carry this year, and his touchdown expectation doesn't really seem that high this week. Are you still just starting him blindly?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely still starting Gurley. I mean, his floor is pretty solid still. You're not getting, you're not getting the David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott performance that you were expecting out of Gurley this year. But he's still got a steady floor. And now hopefully that their offense is going to be more two-dimensional. maybe that opens up with Todd Gurley a little bit. Hopefully, we will be able to stream Case Keenum in the next few weeks because they're going to become two-dimensional and open up for Gurley there. So I'm still playing him. I'm not going to sit him. You got to stick to your guns on that one.
Okay. I'm willing to start sitting Gurley if I have better options. I don't think there's a need to play him, but I mean, I'm definitely like, that's something where you could very easily get burned.
Right.
On the wide receiver front, we saw Kenny Britt get 8 targets and put up a huge game, 7 catches, 136 yards, 2 touchdowns. Tavon Austin, after getting over 30% of the target share in the first 5 weeks, only had 4 targets. That was 12.5% this past week. So that was disappointing as fuck. If you played him in daily, which I did, that's like the so terrible to get like bit in the ass by a Tavon Austin play because like I hate him so much and I was like, well, the numbers say to play him. It's like, wait, he's a fucking terrible football player. Anyway, are you buying into any of these receivers as something to use?
I just want to say I don't think I've ever really thrown this out. We all know Vinny loves Tavon Austin. He's kind of a hot button for LTFF. I can't stand Tavon Austin or why anyone would ever want to play him ever. So I'm kind of glad to see now that Kenny Britt is taking over for that because it just feels – I feel better about it. I'm cool with Kenny Britt, dude. I mean, Kenny Britt, especially in your PPR formats, man, he's another steady floor, possibly going to open up much more with that big – game against Detroit. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen again, 136 yards and 2 touchdowns. But, I mean, the week before, 75 – I don't have the amount of targets and catches he's had, but 75 yards the week before, 82 before that. Besides a bad play at Tampa Bay, he had 94 against Seattle and almost 70 against San Francisco. So he's getting the yardage. And you throw a touchdown in there, he is very good.
You know, it's funny, too, that bad week against Tampa Bay, which, like, Tampa Bay has a bad secondary, was the only week I trusted him and played him.
I remember you playing him, too, yeah.
Yeah, I've not touched him any other week except for that one where he's actually hasn't performed. So,
yeah.
way to fucking go there. I think Britt's in for some sort of some regression. He's only averaging 6.7 targets a game, 75% catch rate, and he's only ever exceeded a 57% catch rate in one other year of his career. So that's going to go down, you would think. He's a guy who you can play in good matchups. This is a pretty good matchup, so I'm not against it. Tavon Austin, man, I don't know how to choose him. I don't know how to predict him.
Just don't choose him.
Fair enough. Who you got here?
Eesh. I'm going to go with Giants.
Cool. Yeah, me too. Let's go over to Saints at Chiefs. So Kansas City actually a big favorite here at Arrowhead. They're a 6.5-point favorite, 15.5-point over under. So that's pretty significant. I guess let's start on the New Orleans side. Drew Brees on the road is not Drew Brees at home. Are you going far enough as to sit him?
No, I'm still going to play him.
Okay. I think I'd sit him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's been like not in the top 20 quarterbacks in his 2 road games so far this season. And KC's a good pass defense and Arrowhead's a tough place to play. Like, I think there's a lot of streamers out there this week who we'll get to, Dalton and Mariota, namely. There's a lot of like, am I going too nuts if I say that Alex Smith is the better quarterback playing this matchup?
Yes. I so don't like Alex Smith to be in my lineup.
Okay,
so not sexy. I will take the risk of playing Drew Brees over Alex Smith, even though you are correct. Drew Brees is a super fucking hero when he's in the Superdome, and the regular Joe or below average Joe when it comes to away games. But I'm still not playing Alex Smith over Drew Brees.
Do you want to put a six pack on it?
I'll put a 12 pack on it.
Oh, all right, cool. Yeah, let's do it. That's another. Dude, we make the worst bets. Oh, man.
Or terrible. We could just do our bet on no halftime.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's do that. Let's do it on no halftime. We'll put it up against
and a 12 pack.
All right, perfect. No halftime game and a 12 pack. All right, I like it. So, you know our opinions on Brees there. Let's go with the run game. Like, how much can you trust Mark Ingram in this game?
Not really. It's actually very disappointing. Like, I don't own Mark Ingram in any of my leagues, but I feel very timid. I know we've been talking about it. Matt's a Mark Ingram owner in our league. It's just not comforting to see what's going on. So, that's how I feel about Mark Ingram.
Fair enough. I don't think it's a great play. I don't think it's the worst play. But he's giving up a lot of passing down snaps to Travaris Cadet. And he's not really getting rushes inside the five. He only has one rush inside the five. Those are going to Kuhn and, for whatever reason, Kobe fucking Fleener.
Yeah.
I believe Daniel Lasco even had one of those this week.
I feel
week.
Like they were going out of their way to get Ingram out of the fucking red zone.
Yeah, it seems like it, which is just so weird because he's always been a guy who's gotten like double-digit touchdowns in a season for him. But the one thing that makes me like kind of come back to him is KC's rush defense has been significantly worse than their pass defense this year. But I still don't think you can really trust Ingram in this matchup where they're such big underdogs.
No.
All right, what about the pass catchers here? They all kind of played around the same amount of snaps. Cooks led the way at 77%. Snead was down at 70%, and Thomas was 71%. How do you order those pass catchers this week in terms of who you're liking the most?
That one is a very good question because I feel like every time I want to say Brandon Cooks gets like two catches for maybe three targets. And I'm just like, what the hell? And it goes to Snead and Thomas. That one, I don't know, man. I'm going to revert this back to you. What do you think?
So I like Mike Thomas because he's leading the team in red zone targets, which is always good. And I think is a decent tiebreaker when it comes to guys sort of getting the same amount of usage, during the rest of it. I know Snead's still kind of coming back from the injury. I'd say guys I want to play this week, it would be Mike Thomas, Brandon Cooks, Willie Snead.
That's fair. I'll concur on that one.
Okay, fair enough. The tight ends, Fleener had a big game because of two touchdowns, one of which was a rushing touchdown. However, Josh Hill was actually back this past week. He outsnapped Kobe Fleener 63% to 56%, had five targets compared to Fleener's seven. I'm completely out on Fleener. Are you
I don't want to be completely out on Fleener, but I get it. I'm still rolling Fleener if I'm a Fleener owner.
I think he was like sort of he got a lot of luck and a good matchup this past week, and this is a bad matchup, and I don't like it for the future. I don't like that Josh Hill came back and immediately played more snaps than him.
Right.
I think that's a very bad sign for Fleener's future prospects. I think because of his big week, you actually might be able to trade him to someone who's not really paying attention as much.
That's cool, too, if you want to do a little combo trade where you want to sell high. Go with it.
Word up. Chiefs side of the ball. We already talked about Alex Smith. I like him. Don doesn't. What do you think of the running backs here with Spencer Ware and Jamaal Charles? Which of those do you want to play more? Are you okay with playing both of them, neither of them?
I still like Spencer Ware more. I think they're still going to be easing Jamaal Charles, but I think if you're a Jamaal Charles owner and you want to roll him, I'm cool with like having Jamaal Charles in my flex, especially against New Orleans when I'm at home.
Yeah, very, very much agree with that. Ware got the bulk of the usage and ended up with 24 carries for 131 yards. That's a huge game.
He still looks good.
Spencer Ware is good. I think that's something we can say with like pretty significant confidence at this point. And Spencer Ware is a very good running back. And I think I agree with you where Spencer Ware to me is like a must play. And then Jamal Charles, I think, is like a very solid flex play against a bad defense. And early in that game against the Raiders, Charles actually did get some red zone work too. He got a touchdown. So they're going to split snaps in the red zone. Ware's going to get the bulk of the carries. I think Ware's probably going to be the guy to salt away the game if they get ahead, but they're both good plays.
Yeah, I agree with everything.
At wide receiver, Macklin only got 3 targets last week. Was that a product of game flow or like, do you trust him this week against the Saints?
You're going to trust him against any team. It's the Saints. And if you're going to roll him, it's against New Orleans. I don't know. I'm just so like not about Kansas City's pass game at all. I like Kelsey, but like Jeremy Macklin, I just think was a waste of the talent to go to Kansas City. Cause I just don't think Alex Smith can utilize them in the right way. But if I have Jeremy Macklin, I'm cool with putting him in the flex against New Orleans this week at home.
That's fair. I like Macklin this week. I think it's a good one. And I think one of these weeks, Kelsey is going to have a multiple touchdown week. I think this is a good opportunity for it with Kansas City's implied team total being higher than it has been all year. So I'm all about Travis Kelsey this year. I think I'm going to use him in some tournaments and daily for that touchdown upside.
Oh, yeah. Again, more and more I'm pumped about his TV show, too.
Yes. What is that? He dates like 50 different women or some shit like that?
Yeah, at least 50.
That's awesome. Good for him, man.
Yeah.
That guy's – I'll probably actually watch that because I'm sure like some of the chicks that I'm friends with will be like, oh, it's like a reality show. And they'll probably want to watch it. And like I'll want to watch it because Travis Kelsey's awesome.
He's a fucking man.
Yeah, pretty much. Travis Kelsey gave us one of the all-time football gifts, where the one where he does the jerk-off motion with the ref there. Yeah. So I'm sure the TV show will be good.
I mean, is it safe to say that the tight ends in the league are like the biggest stars now between like Gronk Bennett duo and you got Travis Kelsey? I mean, like I feel like all these tight ends now are just like the new celebrities.
Yeah, dude, they're just like a bunch of heady bros who don't give a fuck. So it's like they just kind of do their own thing and they're cool. Anyway, I like it.
I'm cool with it.
Let's pick this game, Don. I'm going to take the Chiefs.
I will go – fuck it. I'll go Saints. Drew Brees or Alex Smith, bitch.
All right, I like it. Colts-Titans. That's what we're on here. So Colts-Titans, we have the Titans are actually a favorite at home here. They're a 2.5-point favorite. So we'll start on the Colts side. Andrew Luck on the road. I mean, you're not sitting Luck, right, are you?
No, I'm playing Luck.
Okay, what about Gore? He's been a bit TD-dependent, though he had a nice week this past week. I think I'm sitting him if I can.
Well, it's against Tennessee run defense, so – yeah, but I mean, it depends on where your running back situation is. He's been so solid, though. Like, it's been very solid. Like, not anything explosive, but it's – you know you're going to get a consistent at least, like, 10 points out of him. And if you need that, especially if you're hurting a little bit, I'm very cool with Gore. Just don't expect anything great out of him.
Okay, that's fair. T.Y. Hilton still continues to soak up targets, 9 targets this past week. Yeah, I mean, you're playing him no matter what, and this is actually a pretty solid matchup for it. And then the other guy I want to touch on for the Colts is Jack Doyle with Dwayne Allen hurt. If you look at Kobe Fleener's splits when he was with the Colts with Allen out, he got significantly more opportunity with Allen out. So, I mean, what do you think? Is Doyle a guy that we can plug back in here?
Yeah, I think it's an okay, what you call it, plug-in. If you want to play the roulette, especially with Dwayne Allen being out, give more targets to him.
Okay, yeah, I'm fine with Jack Doyle this week. The Titans side is the fun side here. We hinted at it before, but Mariota is one of the top streamers, if not the top, this week.
Yeah, he's my number one QB streamer this week. I was lucky enough to grab him one week and sit Carson Palmer's bum ass.
Yeah, that's a good call there. I trashed Carson Palmer a couple weeks ago in our league. DeMarco Murray, I think, might be the best running back play of the week just overall.
Yeah, definitely.
And then let's talk about the pass game. Delanie Walker had a very down week. I believe only 3 targets. Are you looking for a bounce back here against the Colts?
I mean, it has to be a bounce back against the Colts. This is the matchup where you would want it to be the bounce back. So yeah, I'm good with it. It sucks because Delanie Walker is so good. and then you're just getting inconsistent play, which is really, it does suck. But I think you're going to get a good game out of against Indianapolis here.
I agree. The wide receiver core is very weird. Kendall Wright had 9 targets, but only 22 snaps, which was the fourth most of the wide receivers on the team. I believe it was 31% snap share. To me, that snap share indicates that it was a fool's gold performance, but like, he played well, so why wouldn't they give him more snaps when they're playing, you know, Andre Johnson and a fifth round rookie as starters? I don't know. What do you think here? Is there anyone that like you're looking to play? Are you picking up Kendall Wright and stashing him on the bench?
If you're in a deeper league and you need to, sure. But I think the is this Kendall Wright's third year?
Oh no, this is like his fourth year, isn't it?
No, it's got to be like year 3 or 4 for him. Maybe it's 4.
No, he's been around for a while, dude.
Really?
Let me look it up here. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Kendall Wright's in his like 5th year right now.
He's 26. I want to say this is his 4th year.
Let's see. When was he drafted? He was drafted in the 2012 NFL draft. So 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016. This is his 5th year.
Wow. Never mind. Time flies, man.
Boom. Suck it, bitch.
Yeah, it's like it's his rookie season, right?
Kendall Wright just got drafted.
I feel like fool's gold is the way to describe his career so far with Tennessee. Maybe not his fault. I think he's a talented receiver, but I don't think you're going to get a consistent performance. And I think that's the Tennessee pass catching options. I think even for Delanie Walker, I just think Delanie Walker is your best bet. By the time you're plugging and playing Kendall Wright, I'm sure you have better options in that case.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think he's the worst stash because I think he's probably the most talented receiver on that team.
Right.
So even if he's not getting the snaps now, maybe he works his way into a greater snap share. So, you know, you can sort of rely on the targets week to week. So he's a stash for me. That's about it for that game, though. Who are you picking?
I'm going to go Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going to as well. Onto the Vikings at the Eagles. This is a very bad game for fantasy purposes. Two good defenses.
Vikings defense is a good play, though.
Yes, Vikings defense is definitely a good play, for sure. Let's talk about the Vikings offense real quick, though. Both teams are bottom 3 in offensive pace, so you can expect it to be slow. Not many actual plays in the game. Sam Bradford's obviously not a start. Steph Diggs didn't practice, but is expected to be back this week. I still don't want to touch him.
Nah, I wouldn't play. I wouldn't put him back in the lineup this week.
What about McKinnon as the guy to play in the backfield?
I guess if you have to, I'm sure he's going to be getting a good workload. Again, I would look elsewhere, but if you have to play him, I'm sure you could play him in the flex and be okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who's probably going to get 15 to 18 touches, so it's not the worst start that you could make. We know he's dynamic and can make big plays at times, but we also know he's inconsistent.
Yeah.
Kyle Rudolph is one of the few tight ends getting a significant target share, but it's a significant target share on a team that doesn't pass that much and plays slow.
Right.
In this matchup against Philly, do you think it's worth it to play him?
No, that's when you could probably pick up Doyle and throw him in there.
Kyle Rudolph situation? Okay, that's fair. I do love target share as an indicator. I think it has a ton of value, but they're like – we can look at it and be like, well, yes, like he's got a ton of target share, that sort of thing. But we also know he's like kind of a big stiff. He's kind of got stone hands and he's kind of not going to have a good catch rate and is pretty touchdown reliant even with a heavy target share. So, yeah, I think Doyle's a better start than him this week. I think you're right.
Yeah.
On the Eagles side of the ball, I mean, you don't really want to target anyone against this Vikings defense. Is there a single start?
Not really. I think I would sit everyone.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't think you can reliably play anyone. wide receiver against the Vikings have been very bad. Zach Ertz is not a thing. Only 3 targets each week since returning. You can drop him.
Right.
That's it. I'm going to take the Vikings.
Go. I was almost going to say go Vikings, not go Vikings, but yeah, I'm picking him.
Fair enough. Browns at Bengals. Bengals are a 10-point favorite. That is a lot. They are at home. On the Browns side of the ball, I feel like Kessler's playing well enough. There's going to be a week that he's a streamer, but it's not this week, is it?
I'm not playing him this week, no.
Okay. What about the running backs? Duke and Crowell both splitting snaps. Duke got the touchdown this past week. Are you looking to play either one?
I mean, I'm okay with Duke. I think he's had a little bit more production now that Kessler's been in. But with Crowell, I'd probably not play Crowell. He's at home. I don't think there's going to be a lot of production. So I'm probably going to sit Crowell.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to play either if I don't have to. I think Terrell Pryor is a good play. He's still dominating targets, 28% of the targets. He had 13 of them this past week.
Definitely.
What do you think about Ricardo Lewis and then Gary Barnage? Lewis had some decent targets this past week.
I think the only person I'm playing out of the Browns is going to be Terrell Pryor.
Okay, I agree. Barnage isn't the worst tight end start that you could make. I would probably play him above Rudolph in this matchup, but I still don't want to play him. Cincinnati side of the ball, another streamer that we like, Andy Dalton. What if Tyler Eifert goes? Does he move ahead of Mariota for you in streamer conversation or still Mariota?
Whew. Good question, dude. Dalton's just is solid, man. I'm going to stick with Mariota, but I think Tyler Eifert – I mean, not Tyler Eifert. Andy Dalton, if he's still on the waiver, why not just scoop him up if you're streaming quarterbacks, why don't you just scoop up Dalton to have so you're not playing matchup because he's good enough to do so.
That's fair. And I think with Eifert coming back, you're going to see an uptick in his production.
Right.
So it's worth noting Eifert came back to practice. He's not a guarantee to play this week, but keep an eye on it.
Right.
In the rest of the pass-catching game, LaFell had a touchdown for the second straight week, only 5 targets. I'm still just playing AJ.
Only playing AJ as well. Yeah, LaFell, if it wasn't for that touchdown, he was not relevant in any sense. I think it was 13 yards and a touchdown. I think that was it. Caught two passes.
Yeah, that is correct. And then the running backs, I think Gio's in RB2 this week. Gio's actually looked pretty decent the past couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And I think Hill's touchdown expectation is high enough this week that you can throw him in the flex.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool.
Going against the Browns, play him.
Yeah, pretty much. That's sort of a rule of thumb. When in doubt against the Browns, you just kind of play them. Yep. I'm going to take Cincinnati.
I almost played Derrick Henry last week because I was in such a bind for flex.
That would not have worked out well, but what can you do?
No, it didn't work out, but I was like, it's against the Browns, man, you know?
Like, yeah, yeah.
That just speaks to how bad the Browns are. But I didn't play him, thank God. That would have been bad.
Fair enough. I'm taking the Bengals.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
All right, cool. On to Redskins at Lions. Let me see where – oh, there are my notes. All right, cool. Detroit's a 1-point favorite at home here. On the Washington side of the ball, the Lions' defense is pretty bad. So, Cousins, I think, is now in streamer territory, right? He's not really every week starter, so he's a streamer, I would think.
Yeah, he's getting back up there. Obviously, you're seeing the production again from the Skins, and they actually have a good record and everything. So, yeah.
Cool. I'm about Cousins this week, probably behind Dalton and Mariota for me. Talk to me about the running backs here because they're splitting the workload, but Matt Jones had a huge week, really, on 16 carries, 135 yards and a touchdown. Rob Kelly ended up with 5 carries for 59 yards, and then Chris Thompson actually led the team in snaps despite not really getting that much production. So where's the production coming from in the future from these three, and are you really looking to play any of them?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Matt Jones is having – it gets a touchdown consecutively every other week. So this would lead to I guess, not getting a touchdown. But
yeah, right? This is the week off.
Yeah. I think Matt Jones is my play. I think he's a very low running back too. And that's the one I would roll out. I think Matt Jones in the past three games has showed some promise there. So that is my guy to play. Everyone else I'm not trying to play. I'm cool with a low RB2 Matt Jones.
Okay, I like it. I think he's the guy to play in this backfield because while Thompson is leading in snaps, he just doesn't get the workload. Right. Jones, if he's kind of making it happen on the ground, tends to get those carries. Detroit's run defense isn't very good. Yeah, I could do some Matt Jones this week. Redskins pass game, still not really sure the status of Jordan Reed. Are you trying to run out Vernon Davis?
I don't know, dude. Vernon Davis, like, stepped in pretty, unfortunately, big the other day.
He got a touchdown.
I don't think I would spin the wheel on him, but if he had, like, another big game of Jordan Reed's out, that'd be kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit's a good matchup for him. He got a touchdown on only four targets last game. Like, it's not the worst play that you would make, but I'd probably rather play Kyle Rudolph than Vernon Davis, but I'll admit very much so that I may have a bias there.
Sleeperbot posted via RotoWorld that Davis will have streaming value if Reed misses, so that's got to be true.
Ah, yes. Opinions from RotoWorld. I normally just go to them for their facts, though their opinions aren't bad either, I suppose. Wide receiver core, we've seen Garcon really be more involved recently, averaging 7.2 targets per game with no fewer than five in any one game. DeSean Jackson has a slightly higher target share, but he'll see a lot of Darius Slay. And then Crowder's kind of fallen by the wayside recently. Are any of these guys appealing to you in this pretty juicy matchup against the Lions?
I don't play B.R. Garcon, but I put him on the watch list of maybe, you know, now that we're going into, you know, week seven, the waivers are going to start thinning out. He's had a few, you know, solid games in a row. I think he's got on the watch list for maybe somebody you want to pick up on a waiver shortly. DeSean Jackson, I'm cool with playing. I'm cool with rolling him out. Jamison Crowder, man, you're fucking tearing my heart out. Every time I sit you, you do well, and every time I play you, you suck.
That's definitely fair. Crowder, the targets just haven't been there. I can't see myself starting him. But Garcon, you talked about, you know, like the watch list. Like, I understand where you're coming from there, but like this is the matchup. The Lions are a bad pass defense, so like if you put him on the watch list, like then they're gonna have worse matchups in the future. So to me, Garcon's a start. I think, you know, if he's
not on a daily, dude,
maybe I haven't really done like my full research yet. I don't even know really what price he is. But I mean, yeah, potentially I think Garcon's like a very, very consistent guy to use. I mean, no fewer than five targets in a game. He's getting red zone targets. He has eight red zone targets. None of them are inside the 10. So that's not very good. But I mean, like if he's getting targets at the 11 yard line, like, he's older, but he's still good enough where he could put that kind of thing in the end zone occasionally. So we just need to get a little bit lucky for him to have a big game rather than like a serviceable game due to his PPR value. And like I said, this is a good matchup. So I'm in on Garcon as the number one receiver to play in this offense, you know, barring Jordan Reed coming back healthy. Jackson, I think, is so boomer bust, and he's been more bust so far this year. Only two double-digit fantasy games so far this season. I would think he's going to see a lot of Darius Slay. So I don't love it. That's why I think Garcon's really the play there. But you can play Jackson as well if you need to. All right, on the Detroit side of the ball, Washington has a very bad rush defense. We don't really know what the situation with Riddick and Dwayne Washington are, but Zach Zenner got the majority of the work. Like, are you kind of monitoring the news and then like trying to play a Lions running back? I think I am.
Yeah. You have to monitor it because especially because if Theo Riddick is playing, I would love to throw him in my lineup with the shit team that I now have. You got to monitor what's going on before you're pulling any trigger here because obviously there's a lot of lack going on with the mix. They just picked up Forsett. You don't know what's going on with Riddick and Washington. So I would give it another day, see what's going on.
Yeah, it's Wednesday night. We don't really have news on Riddick and Washington's status yet, but that makes a very big difference in your strategy moving forward for the Lions' right. run game. Stafford against this Washington pass defense, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
Yeah? Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I wrote down in my notes here, not a bad start, but not a must start. So
yeah.
That's sort of where I'm at there. And then with Ebron and Riddick being unavailable, a lot of those targets that you would think went to those guys transferred over to Golden Tate and Anquan Boldin, particularly Golden Tate, who had a huge week, 160 yards and a touchdown. If those two are sitting again, like, Golden Tate's a guy, right?
Well, yeah. What was it, like 2-3 weeks ago when they were saying they were planning on working more Tate? So
yeah.
Yeah, man, maybe this is the turn for Golden Tate where, you know, you're going to see a lot more productivity out of. So, this is a week where I would play him again, throw him in, you know, as a wide receiver 3 flex play. That's cool with me. It's encouraging to see how he played last week, and they've already expressed that they want to see more Golden Tate.
All right. Yeah, I like it. And then, what's your opinion on Marvin Jones? Because his target share has gone down, only averaging 5.5 targets per game over the past 2 weeks, hasn't seen double-digit targets from week two, or since week two. And he's like, there's a chance he'd be shadowed by Josh Norman, I would think. What do you think about him this week?
Yeah, do you think he's going to get shadowed, though? Because, I mean, we've seen Josh Norman also shadow. So I don't know. I'm still rolling out Marvin Jones. This is the week where you, again, this is could be a turning point in a downward trend, or it's just been a few like slower weeks for Marvin Jones, and he picks it back up. So this is a big week for you, Marvin Jones owners. But I you're definitely rolling him out.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna wait and see like sort of what the Washington beat writers say. Later on in the week when they, you know, go through some press conferences or interviews or whatever it is, right, to try and get some more information about whether or not Norman's going to shadow and then kind of base my decision off of that.
Right.
Who do you got for this one, Don?
I need to see Detroit lose, so let's go Redskins.
All right, I'm going to take Detroit. Okay, let's move on to the Raiders at the Jaguars. This is very similar in the spread. Where Jacksonville is a 1-point favorite here at home. It's actually the exact same spread and over-under as the last game that we did. So on the Oakland side of the ball, we've seen Jacksonville's pass defense actually be pretty good this year. They did, you know, I mean, they gave up yards to Hoyer and the Bears, but overall they've been a very solid pass defense. What do you think about Derek Carr, who's been great up until this past week against the Chiefs?
No, you got to roll him. It's a 3 C's, man. Carr, Crabtree, Cooper.
Word. Yeah, works for me. I mean, I don't think you need to sit him. I don't think he's the best start. But, I mean, I'm going to play him probably.
Yeah, I'm going to play him. Your expectations could be, you know, tempered with it. But he's been slinging it. So I don't think you just automatically now just revert to going in and sitting him.
Okay, and you're on board with Cooper and Crabtree despite only 4 targets for Crabtree this past week?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that because of the season he's having so far, that I would still be playing him.
Yeah, I agree. He was covered most of the game by Marcus Peters, who's the Chiefs' best cornerback. So I think that's the reason for that. It can be explained away, and you can still play him. The Jacksonville run defense has not been nearly as good as their pass defense, but now we've got Latavius Murray returning to practice, so it's looking like it's probably going to be a 3-headed committee with him, DeAndre Washington, and Jalen Richard, which makes none of them viable fantasy options.
Makes me want to puke.
Yeah, I mean, I like it for like the Raiders' real-life purposes because like
right.
that committee's been pretty solid with Murray at the head and then the other two sort of as change of pace guys. But yeah, for fantasy purposes, no good. NG. And then there's no real tight end that you can play on Oakland. What about Jacksonville? Bortles has been pretty bad this year, I would say, is the objective take on it. Do you like him this week against what's been a leaky Raiders pass defense?
No, I wouldn't play Bortles. I don't think he's going to have a terrible game. But, again, why play Bortles this week when you can stream Andy Dalton and Marcus Mariota, or in your instance, Alex Smith? I just don't think he is consistent enough. He's throwing way too many picks right now. So I would stay away.
Okay, I think I'm a little more on him than you are. The matchup is good.
It's a good matchup.
He's just like,
just sucks.
He's been all over the place. Yeah. No, you're probably right there.
There's just safer streamers to go with.
You're right. You don't need to play him, really. You're right. His targets, Hearns and Robinson, you know, Hearns has 8 or more targets in 3 out of the 5 games so far. Robinson, you know, we know how good he is. I think they can both kind of be rolled out this week. Do you?
No, I agree. I think you have to play Robinson if you have him. You bought him high, and against this matchup, you have to play him. Like I said, I don't think Blake Bortles is going to have a bad game. It's just with the production where you've seen it, you just don't want to play him. This is just going to be a better matchup for him. So Allen Robinson, you have to play. And then I think Allen Hurns in a flex or low or a wide receiver 3 is fine.
Yeah, I'm okay with it there. Julius Thomas for me isn't getting the targets to be a start. And then let's talk about the run game with Ivory and Yeldon both splitting work. I don't think you can really play either of them.
No, let's stay away this week.
All right, cool. I'm going to take Oakland.
Yeah, man, I'm going to go with you. I'll take Oakland. I won't jag off this week.
Woo! All right. So then Bills at Dolphins, and then we're going to take a quick break. But Bills and Dolphins here. We got Buffalo, a 3-point favorite on the road. This is a game where, like, I don't really know what to think. First of all, LeSean McCoy strained his hamstring today. He's in flux, quote unquote. So we don't know if he's going to play or not. If he does go, how big of a role he's going to have. But if he doesn't go, is Gillisley a must start for you?
Yeah, I mean, if you're low on running backs, like I've had a few leagues where like running backs are pretty suspect. I'm cool with scooping up Gillisley and putting him into play.
Yeah, definitely. What about Ty God as a streamer?
Ty God. I'm also cool with streaming Ty God. I would still be cool with playing Ty God over another streamer over Blake Bortles this week.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He's always got a very high floor due to his rushing ability.
Right.
Charles Clay quietly averaging 6.3 targets over the past 3 games. I think he's an interesting tight end if you're a little bit desperate. I know I played him in some leagues last week, and it worked out pretty well. What do you think about him and then the wide receiver core led by Robert Woods?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. If you're going to play Charles Clay, if you're going to spin the wheel, it's a good week to do it, especially with the decent week you had last week with him. And then Robert Woods, right?
Yeah. What do you think?
Good old Robert Woods, man. Every year we always come to this question.
And it's always no. The answer is no, you don't play Robert Woods.
And then the week they're like, maybe, you know, we throw him for the flex, and then he just shits the bed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to go with that answer.
There's going to be a couple weeks where he like has very good games, and I don't know when the fuck they're going to be.
Yeah. I'm going to just not play Robert Woods.
Fair enough. On the Dolphins side of the ball, we saw Jay Ajayi explode for 204 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. Is Foster going to have more of a role this week? Is Miami going to continue riding Ajayi? I don't really know. What do you think, Don? Ajayi worth a play?
Yeah, I would probably, again, like I said, if you're in that situation where I'm with the suspect running backs, I'm scooping them up and playing them and praying. So I don't think Arian Foster is really going to take away from that much of a share. Again, you know, you don't really know with Ajayi and the Miami Dolphins. They've kind of fucked you when it comes to terms with Jay Ajayi. But Foster is always hurt. I don't really see him taking away too many shares away from him this week. So I would play Jay Ajayi this week if you have him.
I'm nervous. I'll say that. I know it's not this coaching staff, but the Miami team has a long history of not using running backs well. So I don't know if they're going to be up like they were last week. I think Foster might have more of a role with him getting a little bit more healthy. So I'm nervous about Ajayi. I get why you would play him. I would look for any excuse not to play him personally. I don't think we have to talk about Tannehill. I mean, and the only wide receiver we need to talk about is Landry, right?
Yeah, play him.
Yeah, you're just playing Landry pretty much. Who you got here?
Bills.
I'm going to take the Dolphins at home for the second straight week. All right, cool. Quick break to hear from our sponsor, No Halftime, and Don and I will be right back.
You're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and thinking to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players, not his entire team. But your fantasy sports service doesn't allow you to. Now you can on the all-new No Halftime app. The No Halftime app allows you to create individual challenges using players or teams. For example, you could pit Beckham versus Brown, Cam versus Rodgers, or even Ezekiel Elliott versus AP. Creating a challenge takes seconds, and accepting challenges is even easier. No Halftime challenges can be private or public and created for the NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, PGA, and other sports. Join today and get started. Real money and fantasy supremacy awaits you. And now you can also try No Halftime for free with $0 challenges. Visit NoHalftime.com for more information and to download the No Halftime app for your iPhone or Android device. Receive a bonus by entering in the promo code LTFF at signup. Receive a free t-shirt when you make a deposit. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break.
All right, guys, that was our sponsor, No Halftime. Don and I are going to put up a game this weekend there for Alex Smith versus Drew Brees. That sounds so bad when I like, it's Jesus.
Dude, can't wait to crush some beers.
Yeah, man, that should be an option on No Halftime. We should suggest that as player feedback rather than dollars. It's just like six beers. All right, anyway. So we've got next game on the docket, Ravens at Jets. Normally I go with the road team first to be friendly, but I can't because Geno Smith is starting. Geno. Don, how many leagues are you going to start Geno in this week?
All five.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure, like, if you look, like, he's not even on the waivers because they just banned him from it.
Oh, man. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing with Geno. People were like, oh, well, we don't – like, why'd they put him in? Like, he just threw that pick. Like, it was fourth down. He had to throw. He gave his receiver a chance to get that, and he was a rookie receiver who got undercut by Tyrann Mathieu, who's, like, one of the best slot corners slash safeties, if not the best, in the NFL. So, like, everyone was like, well, Geno threw a pick. Like, what a surprise. It's like, fuck you. Like, he gave the receiver a chance to make a play on fourth down, and he didn't make a play. I am a staunch Geno apologist, so I'm also extremely biased. But I think everyone who's just like, well, we knew what Geno was, is also extremely biased. Anyway, there's a chance that Jimmy Smith sits this week, in which case the Ravens' cornerbacks are going to be garbage outside of Jerod Powers in the slot. I think Geno might have a decent week in him. And Brandon Marshall, if Jimmy Smith sits, is like just stud play.
Well, I don't know if you listeners took in any of that, but it looks like Walsh feels very strongly about this. I think Geno's been dealt a shitty hand in the sense where he wasn't given talent around him to really see what he could do, but in the same sense, I still think he sucks. So I'm not going to play him. I'm not going to stream him. I'm not going to look for him. I don't know. Jets suck right now. And I'm not looking to add Geno Smith anytime soon.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's a reason to play Geno. As we've said, there are a lot of other good streamers out there this week. I'm just saying, don't be surprised when Geno has a pretty decent game. That's all I'm saying. Quincy Enunwa, we've seen his target share decrease since Decker actually went out, and now he's going to be lined up against Jerod Powers, who, as I mentioned, is really Baltimore's best corner this week in the slot. I think you can safely keep him on your bench. What about the Forte Powell situation?
Dude, I don't know, man. I've got Forte, and I just need him to just do better. But the Jets have just sucked. He hasn't really had much opportunity. He's not getting much running room, and then they've kind of been phasing Powell in more every week.
Yes.
I'm still playing Forte because I kind of have to. But if you don't have to, don't play him. And the same thing for Blau Powell. Like, he's phasing in, but it's not like he's getting enough work or production where you need to play him.
Okay, that's fair. I think this is a bad week for both of them as well. Baltimore's first in Football Outsiders DVOA for run defense. That's like an efficiency metric. Powell really gets the snaps in games that they're losing. This game's a pick 'em, so like they're not big underdogs like they have been the past couple of weeks. I think it's a bad game for both of them. The only offensive player who you really should be starting here is Brandon Marshall for the Jets.
Agreed.
Ravens side. Flacco, I don't think it's necessary, but the Jets defense is very bad in the past, passing wise.
Yeah, they are very bad. I don't hate if you play Flacco. Again, there's still just better options.
Yeah, I agree. There are better options, but like, Flacco has a couple games a year where he just blows up. Like, this might well be one of them, because one of the things the Jets have done is gotten burned deep a lot. So I think Flacco to Mike Wallace is like kind of interesting as a daily stack for me, at least a little bit of exposure to it. And I think Wallace is the play in the pass game if you're going to have one here.
Yes, Wallace has been very consistent. So he's been surprisingly a nice play for everyone. Just to give you a heads up, I forgot all about this. Joe Flacco did actually get an MRI this week.
Oh, really?
So he might not go, and Ryan Mallett might be a starter for this week.
Oh, Jesus.
So
that makes that a – yeah, I don't know if you can play anyone on the Ravens.
He didn't practice today because of his shoulder.
Okay. Well, that sucks. Keep an eye on that. I was not aware of that. So let's just talk about Terrence West quickly. He's dominated the carries and the targets for running backs the past 2 weeks. Yeah. The Jets' run defense has been very good other than this past week against David Johnson, but the volume seems like it might be too much to keep me off of Terrence West. What do you think here?
No, I'm cool with playing Terrence West due to the volume and due to who knows who's being at quarterback, so they might need to lean on him a little bit more.
Okay, yeah, I'm as an owner of Terrence West, I think I will likely be playing him this week. Who are you picking here, Don?
You know, I'll go New York. I'll give them their second win.
Okay, if you thought I was taking anyone but my boy Gino, you were sadly mistaken. I am also going.
Jesus.
Dude, if he makes like a career renaissance and he's actually good, like there are so many Jets fans who, when I've publicly said like the Jets should start Geno instead of Fitzpatrick, have been like, you're fucking stupid. So it's like, this is one of those things that I hope happens so much because I get to rub it in the faces of all these people who just like, I know from like college or like whatever, who aren't big football fans, but are like huge Jets fans and like
obnoxious yeah. Jet fans that just,
oh, completely.
Oh, the shit that either they say or post on Facebook statuses are just brutal. Listen, I live in the area, and but all you Jet fans, man, the shit that just comes out of your mouth is just
it's pretty nauseating
sometimes.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. So for that reason alone, I say let's go, Gino. I really hope you prove to be decent this year. Let's move on to Bucks at 49ers. The big news here, and I guess we'll start on the Tampa Bay side, is that Doug Martin suffered a setback in his return. He now has no timetable, whereas before the expectation was that he was going to return this week, which means Jaquizz Rodgers is once again a fucking thing. The San Francisco run defense has admittedly had some very, very awful matchups, but in the past 4 weeks have been allowing 227 yards on the ground per game. That is awful. Now they get Jaquizz Rodgers. What do you think, Don? Is Jaquizz a must start?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, that sucks. You're right, though. You're absolutely right.
Dude, I mean, we were watching that game, and we watched with the game script, and I thought I was going to win because of it. Mike Evans, bastard. With Jaquizz Rodgers, like, running, like, 10 times in a row 2 weeks ago having 30 carries. Especially against 49ers, you have to play him. He's like that plug and play. Like I said, if McCoy is out for this week and you play in like Gillisley. I'm just called him McGillisley all the time. but with Rodgers, I just think you just can't not play him this week if you can scoop him up for the week.
Can't not play him. No, yeah, I agree with you. Jaquizz is a good play, which is nauseating to say. Do you have any interest in Jameis against this 49ers defense?
Could be a decent stream. There's so many good streamers. Now, you know what? Listen, it wouldn't be a bad play, but again, I think there's just better streamers to play, so play someone else.
Very much agreed. The other news from this game is that Vincent Jackson is likely going to miss this one. So that's 16% of the target share for this year gone.
Yeah, towards ACL, he's done.
Oh, yeah, he's done for the year. So we've seen Evans' target share in the past just absolutely skyrocket with V-Jax out. Do you expect that to happen again?
Yeah.
Okay, I very much agree. I think Mike Evans is one of the top wide receivers from here on out. They're going to force feed the ball to him.
Faux show.
What about Adam Humphries and Cameron Brait, the slot wide receiver and the tight end?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen some flashes with Brait, and then with Humphries, I mean, with Vincent Jackson going out, I mean, obviously we know that Jameis Winston does like to force the ball a lot and likes to pick that one receiver and lock onto him. But Cameron Brait could be, you know, from this point on, a good plug and play through tight end roulette, and Humphries is someone that you could put on the watch list as well.
Yeah, I think both of those guys make nice pickups. Brait makes a nice play. Again, that's 16% of the targets gone. It needs to go somewhere. I would think it'll be split among Evans, Humphries, and Brait for the most part. 49ers side of the ball, we're not playing Colin Kaepernick, and I don't want to listen to arguments to play him. Carlos Hyde.
But we'll listen to the Geno Smith arguments.
Yeah, well, that's because those are smart arguments. No, sorry. Yeah, you're very much right on there. That was you. I'll shut up now. Carlos Hyde is likely not to go. Are you interested in Mike Davis or Sean Drone?
So it looks like Mike Davis just won the definite backup, but who knows if Chip Kelly's now just going to run all three and split the share on that. So that's something you really got to look out for. Hopefully this injury is only just a one-week deal for Carlos Hyde where you don't have to worry about picking up Mike Davis, worrying about using him as the handcuff for now, because you don't really know what Chip Kelly's going to do those three. So if you can, I would shy away from that.
I very much agree. I don't want to play anyone in that backfield. The Tampa Bay run defense has been better than their pass defense. They're coming off a bye. I think they're likely to get some of their defensive linemen who are missing back from injury. So I think that's a spot to avoid. The pass catchers, though, in Cap's first game back, Torrey Smith, Quentin Patton, and Jeremy Curley all got 7 targets each. Smith had the most yards and the touchdown. What do you think about these guys? Is there anyone to target? And if so, who is it?
I think the safest bet still is Jeremy Curley. But I think Torrey Smith is much more meant with Colin Kaepernick versus Blaine Gabbert.
Yes, I agree with you. I'm kind of out on Curley at this point. Because the reason we liked Curley so much was because Gabbert likes to dink and dunk. He was the slot receiver. He ran a lot of short routes. Kaepernick is not that kind of quarterback. He's going to throw a fastball as hard as he can to some guy, you know, down the field. So to me, that some guy is probably going to be Torrey Smith more often than not. He's probably the guy to own, but he's going to be difficult to say when to play him because those touchdowns are going to come inconsistently. I don't think this week is a bad week to play Torrey Smith, though, if you're desperate.
Ugh.
That's the completely fair reaction. Who are you taking here, Don?
I'm going to go with Tampa Bay Bucks.
Okay, I'm going to take Yeah, fuck Jaquizz Rodgers. I'm going to take the Niners. let's talk about San Diego at Atlanta. Atlanta's like really good all of a sudden. 6.5-point favorites over San Diego. But on that San Diego side, what do you think about Philip this week? Worth rolling out there?
Dude, don't break what's not broken. Philip River loves to throw the fucking ball, dude. Sling
That's
him
true.
All day.
Yes, he slings significant amounts of swine pretty much every weekend. So yeah, keep playing him. It's worth noting that Travis Benjamin is currently missing practice with a knee injury. He did leave that game on Thursday with it, yep. And it was sort of underreported.
Still underreported right now.
I feel like no one's mentioning it. It's just like, oh, he's out. But if Benjamin sits, I feel like you can start Tyrell Williams, Dontrell Inman, Hunter Henry, and Antonio Gates, just because the targets are Phillip's going to sling pig. They're going to be down. So there's going to be enough targets to go around to all four of those guys in that case.
I don't know how I feel about Inman. Williams, definitely. Henry, definitely. And I think the third would be Gates. But I don't think that Inman is, you know, worth you having to go ahead and start. Unless you're looking deeper leagues, like 14-team league.
No, that's a very fair take. There's only been one week where he's really had significant amount of targets, despite right. being on the field for almost all the snaps in basically every week since week two. Right. And then Melvin Gordon is still seeing heavy volume. He's not been very good. In this game where they're going to be down, are you still willing to roll him out?
I'm not sitting Gordon.
Yep, that's the correct take. You should not be sitting Gordon. He gets too much usage. Atlanta side of the ball, Matt Ryan, like fucking duh, man. Like, holy shit. If you there are a few people who I've been as wrong on as Matt Ryan this year so far. I did not think he was really going to be a thing. He's the number one player in all of fantasy so far. If you drafted him and like you drafted him as a backup to like an elite quarterback like Rodgers or Luck, either sell him or sell the elite guy. Like, you're probably going to get more value for a guy like Rodgers or Luck just based on name value, right?
I would sell the shit out of Matt Ryan, dude. Matt Ryan, I still don't think that we're wrong. It's still only week 7. This shit is going to slow down. I'm saying sell Matt Ryan. We see this every year, though. Matt Ryan always starts off like a fucking stud. Now, don't get me wrong. This has been his best start off. But I'm still telling you, sell Matt Ryan because I'm sure you're going to get good value. Stream these motherfuckers that are on this that we can stream because there are plenty of streamable quarterbacks this year. Like we've been talking about all year long how deep QB is. Sell this guy for high value and get your money's worth.
Well, the thing is, too, when you're trying to sell quarterbacks, like it doesn't work a lot of the time because everyone – like the secret's out that you can stream quarterbacks. So, like, unless you've got someone who's still, like, all the way back in, like, 2010 mindset of, like,
yeah,
well, I need
– find the dumb kid on your team, in your league, and sell him.
Okay, that's fair. That's very fair. I'm also of the mindset that this might be legit, and part of the reasoning for that is just their division's pass defenses are three of the worst pass defenses in the league. So, like, his matchups are still going to be good. But either way, you're starting him this week against San Diego. I think you can start both of the running backs, Freeman and Coleman. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the production is just there where both of them are just start. You have to start them.
Yeah, Freeman's going to have some week coming up soon where he's going to have like 3 touchdowns, and I think it might be this one. What about the pass catchers, though, besides those guys? I mean, Julio's been inconsistent, but you would think he would have to have a good game this week. Sanu had 10 targets this past week, but he's still not been consistent at all on his targets. And then Tammy's also fluctuated there. Outside of Julio, who's an obvious play, what do you think?
Sanu, you don't have to play. Like you said, there's just no consistency with him where that you're going to just be like, I'm going to flip the coin. Jacob Tammy's, it's the same thing. I'm not playing Jacob Tammy either.
Cool. Me neither. I completely agree with you. Who are you picking here?
Fuck it. I'm going to bolt up. Phillip Rivers, sling that pig, man.
Unbelievable. I'm taking Atlanta.
Hey, man, listen, I didn't jag off, so I at least got to bolt up.
All right, fair enough. If you're not jagging off, you got to bolt up. I understand.
Exactly.
Three more games here. We're going to go to Patriots at Steelers. This one started with the Steelers as a one-point favorite, and then the Ben news kind of came out. New England is now a seven-point favorite. So let's start on the New England side of the ball. Brady, White and Blunt. Am I wrong for thinking they're both options this week?
I'd play him this week.
Cool. Yeah, White for the pass catching, Blunt for the touchdown expectation.
Jay Ajayi did to them last week.
Yeah, no, it's a very good point. Okay, so the pass catchers here, we've got Edelman. What do you think about Edelman? Because he's definitely underperformed since Brady has come back relative to expectation.
This is the week you play Edelman, and don't worry about it, because Edelman and Brady love each other, and this won't stay on forever.
I very much agree. He's led the team in targets since Brady returned with 17, including three red zone targets. The underperforming here is a lie. If you can buy him low, buy him right now. If you can play him in daily fantasy tournaments, play him because he's going to be low owned. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep playing him until he makes me a ton of money one week. do you think any of the other wide receivers, Chris Hogan, Danny Amendola, are worth taking a look at here?
I'm always intrigued by Chris Hogan.
He's so boomer bust.
Yeah. No, I'd probably just go with the two tight ends and Julian Edelman and the running backs.
So you're in on both tight ends as well? You think they're both good starts?
Yeah, if I had Bennett, I'd play Bennett.
I very much agree. Just the target numbers, Gronk has 16 since Brady coming back. Bennett has 13. Bennett also leads the team in red zone targets all season.
He's hilarious.
And he's hilarious. So that's like, you know, even if he's like bad for your fantasy team, you can watch videos of him being funny.
Exactly.
And then you're like, yeah, you're not so bad, Martellus. Yeah. You're an okay guy.
Yeah.
And then Steelers now with Ben out. Ben, if you missed the news somehow, tore his meniscus and is out for, I believe, 4 to 6 weeks after surgery. It's just Brown and it's just Bell, and you have to lower your expectations for those two.
Do you lower your expectations for Bell, though?
Yeah, I think his floor is still wildly high, but I don't think you can expect the same sort of crazy ceilings that we had before with Ben in there.
No ceilings for Le'Veon Bell.
But like in the bad, like no ceiling, like we're like there's.
But I need like a Lil Wayne. I need Lil Wayne to say no ceilings and Lil Wayne voice real quick for.
Yes. All right. Cool. What do you think there? Do you think Bell's like you keep him on that same expectation with as he was with Roethlisberger in there?
Well, no, I guess not. But I think they're just going to use a shit ton more Bell than anything else. So.
He's going to get a ton of usage, but.
Yeah, he's schedule agnostic, so.
You are correct. Le'Veon Bell is schedule agnostic. Antonio Brown, how much are you downgrading Brown relative to other guys? Like, is he out of your top 10 in wide receivers now?
Oof.
He was pretty bad when Landry Jones was the QB last year.
He's not going to have top 10 fantasy value, but I just can't see you sitting him.
Yeah, I don't think I can really sit him either.
Like,
but
that's a fucking sin if you have Antonio Brown. Like, you're looking at Antonio Brown and he's on the fucking bench.
Yeah, I have him. I'm really disappointed. Yeah, don't sit him. Just, you know, don't expect as much.
Right.
Let's move on from this one. I'm taking the Patriots.
Yeah, the Steelers are going to get a fucking butt whooping.
All right, Seahawks at Cardinals. This is another one without really a ton of fantasy appeal to it. Cardinals are 2-point favorites. I think the best play on the Seattle side is Christian Michael. Am I wrong there?
What about Jimmy Graham, dude?
Jimmy Graham is the second best play for me. That's a very good point. My argument for Michael is that Arizona's defense is number one by Football Outsiders DVOA. Metric in against the pass, but only number 13 against the run.
Run, yeah.
And I don't think the game's going to get like I think Arizona's probably going to be ahead, or you know, is more likely to win than Seattle. But the game's not going to be out of hand, so there's no reason for Pete Carroll to really abandon the run. So I like Michael a lot, but Graham has been averaging 9 targets per game over the past 3 weeks. He's clearly their number one option.
Hell yeah.
And you really can't ignore that at all. If you got him, you got to play him.
Yeah. I'm cool with both those dudes, for sure.
Is there anyone else on the Seahawks that you want to play?
I mean, listen, if you got to play Doug Baldwin, I'm okay with it. I think he's a very, 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 very low wide receiver too. But if you got to do it, you got to do it.
He burned me this past week, and I'm not over it. I stupidly, in my main DraftKings lineup, went with him and Macklin, and everyone else had gone in the early slate, and I had, like, really done well on, like, the early games. All I needed was, like, pretty average games, and they both put up, like, 7 points, and I was just like, fuck you guys. But anyway, enough complaining. I don't want to play Baldwin.
My job.
Yeah, right. I feel like I've done more complaining than you this one. Arizona side. Sorry, go ahead.
We've got one last matchup that I've got plenty to complain about, so go ahead.
Fair enough. Is this the one? Is it Carson Palmer?
Well, I'm going to go on to that, and then the Texans Broncos after that. It's got plenty of complaining to do, so.
Oh, okay,
we'll go to Arizona. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, so Carson Palmer, you can't play in this game.
Piece of shit.
Plain and simple. Not a person you want to be starting right now. He's played pretty poorly. The Arizona offense doesn't look good outside of David Johnson. But as we said about Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson is schedule agnostic, Don. So you can play him.
He's a fucking beast.
Yeah, absolutely. He is absolutely insanely good.
I think he has, like, tattoos on, like, both of his arms. Like, one on the back of his arm that says schedule and the other one that says agnostic.
I think you're right. I saw that on the last broadcast. I was like, damn, he knows exactly how schedule agnostic he is. For background for this, guys, I referred to David Johnson as schedule agnostic in our group text among us here at Let's Talk Fantasy Football, and Don thinks it's like a funny / stupid term and keeps saying it in as many situations as he can to make fun of me for it. So that's why we're hammering that into the ground. But in the Arizona passing game, what's it?
I don't think it's stupid. I think it's funny.
Okay, fair enough. He thinks it's funny. In the Arizona passing game, Fitz is playable, but, like, do you have to play him?
Depends on, like, you know, where your draft – like, if you were, like, a wide receiver heavy draft and you have plenty of them, you can sit them. But I'm cool with rolling with, like, him being my third receiver for sure.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm cool with playing him. I just think if you have better options, you don't need to. It's probably unlikely that you have better options. You probably need to roll with him. And he's still getting 25% target share, which is good. But – it's not a good matchup for him. The Seattle cornerbacks that used to be vulnerable in the slot, Jeremy Lane is actually playing great in the slot this year. Right. So that's no longer really a thing like we thought it was going to be. I'm taking Seattle.
Yeah, after I just called Carson Palmer a piece of shit, I can't say that they're going to win.
Okay.
You know what? No, I'm going to say that they're going to win because they're at Arizona. And those fans are fucking crazy, man. I'll take Arizona.
That's a good point for sure. I'm pretty sure I said earlier on that I would expect Arizona to win in that game, and then I picked Seattle. But that's just kind of it's going to be a close game.
It is what it is. Close and
low scoring is the name of the game.
Right.
Houston at Denver Monday night game, last one of the week. Denver's a 7.5-point favorite. Is Lamar Miller the best play on Houston this game?
Yeah, because Brock Osweiler doesn't know how to fucking hit any of his receivers or do anything with the fucking football other than stand there like the 6'6 goon that he is.
Yeah, he sucks. He's, like, not good.
Sucks.
I mean, Denver.
I could think of 100 different ways where you could spend, like, $70 million then go and sign fucking Brock Osweiler.
By 100, yeah, right?
100 different ways, like 100 million different ways.
I could probably, like, if you asked me to list those, like, without stopping, the better ways to spend $70 million than Brock Osweiler, I could probably do it for, like, at least, and again, not stopping at all, like, in my train of thought or, like, saying things, I would say at least, like, 8 hours I could talk for of better ways to spend $70 million than Brock Osweiler.
I think one of the ideas would be putting it in a pile of a pile in the middle of the room, putting gasoline and letting on fire would be before paying Brock Osweiler that money.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I really don't. He is not good, and it is very obvious. So the Denver defense itself has been very, very elite against the pass, not as elite against the running backs, and also against running backs in the pass game. The thing here is that Lamar Miller's only gotten about 10% of the targets this year. For whatever reason, they don't tend to use him as much in the pass game. I'm not sitting him. I think he's the best option there. I think there's a chance that he does some good things. Maybe he gets in the end zone. What about Hopkins? And I think a lot of this depends on Fuller's health. But what do you think about Hopkins this week?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's funny, too, because Osweiler's going against his old team, and Brandon Marshall came out with a statement saying that they're looking to kill him. So
we're going to murder you, white boy.
I was reading that. I was like, oh, shit. So they're literally looking to kill Brock Osweiler. So it's already been concerning. One, with Will Fuller, when he's healthy, he's boom or bust. He has a really big game, and then he has nothing. DeAndre Hopkins has been, like, a very decent for a decent player floor, but no – like, very, very low ceiling. Like, very low ceiling. So it's very discouraging, and he's going against Denver defense. So it's hard for me to say sit, and it depends on what your wide receivers look like. But, like, I specifically asked our group – I'm in a league where I have actually Marvin Jones, Allen Robinson, Brandon Hopkins, and I'm possibly sitting DeAndre Hopkins this week against Denver out of those four.
Yeah, I don't think it's the worst call there. I think what really sways the needle is whether or not Fuller is going to play. Because Fuller was active last week and didn't play a single snap. They gave Hopkins 15 targets. That's the most he's seen all season. If Fuller is in, he's going to siphon off, and, you know, not just a decoy, he's going to siphon off some of those targets. So, you know, Hopkins, 15 targets, like, it doesn't matter how inefficient a guy is in this game. You got 15 targets, like, you're going to produce enough to be, like, an okay fantasy start. But if Fuller's in and he gets 8 targets, like, there's no guarantee in terms of that. So on the Denver side of the ball now, CJ Anderson, man, dude. I mean, that Thursday night game, he had 12 fantasy points called back by holding penalties. I was absolutely beside myself for most of that game with that. But I think he makes a great play this week against the Texans D that struggles against the run and defends the pass pretty well. So, like, I can't go away from him, but he really hasn't performed in a while. So, I don't know. Are you at all worried about Devontae Booker as well?
Well, they said this week that they want to play him in a heavier role.
I know, and that sucks so much.
Yeah, it does suck. But if you have to, I'm cool with playing CJ Anderson still until you see them, because Texans do have a good secondary, so they're probably going to want to run the ball, especially the way Simeon's, he's, you know, okay. But, you know, we're not really seeing wide receiver production anyway.
Yeah, Frank Gore just got over 100 yards against the Texans on the ground. If Frank Gore can do it, you would think C.J. Anderson can do it. So you got to roll him out, I would guess. What about Manny Sanders and Demaryius Thomas? Sanders is practicing with that bruised hip that he left the game for on Thursday.
Yeah.
Both of them not in great matchups, but they're getting a lot of targets, 26 and 24% respectively of the target share, with the 26 going to Manny Sanders. To me, they're both wide receiver threes against the Texans.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm probably rolling out DT, but my expectations are whatever at this point, but that's for every week.
Yeah, you're kind of really, like, hoping there's a touchdown, and so far you've actually gotten that pretty consistently.
Right.
All right, Don, anything else about this game?
Nope.
All right, I'm taking Denver.
Yeah, Denver's going to wax that ass.
They're going to wax that ass, you guys. Listen to the D.O.N. He knows what he's talking about when he's talking about waxing asses.
Oh, yeah.
Don loves waxing asses. All right. If you take anything away from this podcast, take away that. Don, you got anything else for week 7 or just in general before we send our wonderful listeners out to win their fantasy matchups this week?
Yeah, please don't stream Geno Smith.
Yeah, that's completely fair. I would like to state I didn't recommend doing that, but
no, you didn't. You just felt so strongly about them. I just hope they don't take that.
Oh man, I hope he does so well though, dude. Oh man, if he's if Geno Smith is even like passable this year, I just get to rub it in the face of like so many people. And normally I don't like to rub shit in people's faces unless they're like my close friends. But when it's like Jets fans, just don't care. Like I will rub it in your face the whole time.
And then you'll see like a million Facebook stats saying, always knew Fitzpatrick was a piece of shit and should have started Geno.
Yeah. Dude, I've gotten in so many arguments with Jets fans about this. It's been like so – like every time they all talk about it too, and they're all like – all of them are like passive-aggressive. They're like, I can't believe people think Geno Smith can be the quarterback of this team. And I'm like, I know you're talking about me, motherfucker. I say that all the time. but I'm right. I'm right. And I'm gonna, Geno's going to show it. Do it, Geno. All right. We should probably get out of here. Yes, that's all I got. Let's go Geno Smith this week. And for Don Chrisman, I have been Nick Walsh. This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Later podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.
This is New York firefighter Raphael Poirier. Introducing Firehouse Subs, new $4.99 choice subs. Choose from a medium smoked turkey, honey ham, or roast beef. And remember, a part of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Medium $4.99 choice subs. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax, no substitutions. Participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.